Well, we get a report on a weekly basis, and the board gets exactly what the public gets. Every Friday, the district has put out, here are the number of students and staff that have tested positive that week. But we've never really had a comprehensive saying this many students or staff are absent as a result of COVID. So we get only the information that's week's positive. We don't ever get a cumulative number of students or staff that are out as a result of COVID, be it positives, be it quarantines, be it waiting for testing results. So what we believe we need to have, and have communicated several times, is we need an overall comprehensive analysis. We actually went virtual to West Middle because we had such absentee rates. We've shut down classrooms, we shut down grades. And so we're doing that without board or public getting benefit of what are the total number of COVID related absenteeism. And so I think, as we go through this process, there's more and more doubts that we've been hearing from parents and teachers regarding the numbers. And so our view is, and it's something I expressed at the last board meeting quite clearly and provided an example reporting, a very simple five categories of information that we believe the district should report. And, it just needs to improve. We need to have open, transparent discussion with the board and with the public.
And last week, it looked like the cases were relatively really low. Whenever they come out, they seem to be lower than what you would think we would have, since we do have what looks like a hot spot here in Sioux City.
Well, I mean, I think the methods and approaches the district have taken has been effective over the time since, school first started. The wearing of the masks, the cleaning, things like that. I think the school district has demonstrated that we can operate safe schools, but the numbers were increasing, certainly in the community. There is, as I said at the board meeting, there is a disconnect between the level of positives at the school and the level of positives in the community. But I think the school district has better precautions and better safety items in place than the general public. So I think there's a reason for that. But due to the overall numbers of absenteeism, we've never had a view on, okay, how many are totally gone at any point in time? Let's just measure it every Friday. How many people are gone as a result of the cumulative effect of all these people? So I think when you're talking about shutting schools or changing the way that you instruct students, that information needs to be available in front of you before you make that decision. And I think that was, you had a 4-3 split at the last board meeting on going hybrid or staying in person. But you had it without the benefit of, okay, what are our absenteeism? What's our absenteeism and how much is really related to COVID? We didn't have that information available. So I think while Mr. Goodman and I, we actually disagreed on the method of instruction. He wanted to go hybrid. I wanted to stay in person. We disagreed on that position. We do agree that there should be much, much better reporting than we've had. And that's really what this issue is about. Let's have good, open, candid disclosure of our COVID and COVID-related and then total absences so that the public and the board can see much better information to measure and to see what the trends are, what trends are happening in the school district. We clearly see them for the community, and I think we need to have a similar comprehensive approach for the school district.
You favor in-person learning. What would it take to go virtual? Is there a certain absentee rate that you're looking for before you decide to do that, or is virtual completely off the table for you?
No, it's not off the table for me. I think, we reached a point with some staff when you can't staff a building to teach due to the high numbers of staff that are out for whatever reason. But again, we don't know how much is COVID. We don't know how much is an appendix being taken out or any other illness. So we don't have benefit of that information as a board, and I think we need it. But no, I'm not. I was the one that actually was supportive of going hybrid to start the school year. So I was very supportive of that. And to the extent that if we have high absenteeism or it looks like we've got a runaway positive rate, then I think we have to do something differently. So I'm fully supportive of doing what the data shows, but you have to have the information available to make a educated and logical decision. So my view is there's no one set of facts or circumstances that say, yes, it's hybrid, yes, it's virtual, yes, it's in person. I think it's an accumulation of a lot of data points. But certainly, I have an open mind as to going hybrid or staying in person. But I think the foundation of that needs to have adequate reporting and adequate information so we can make an informed decision, not an emotional decision.
And when it comes to decisions, do you have any idea which way the school board might go at your next meeting on Monday?
I don't know that the topic is up for discussion. Perhaps it will be again. I don't know. That there's no set schedule of discussion topics. That's an open item that we can discuss whatever matters are on board members' minds. So I don't know that there's a scheduled vote to remain in person or go virtual or go hybrid. I don't think there's a scheduled vote or a scheduled discussion for that. It's that agenda item is sort of a free-flowing agenda item, and you can discuss what you choose. I would like to have the numbers in front of me to understand what our absentee rates are and for what reason the folks are absent before we have further discussion. I mean, you're asking us to make a fundamental decision without benefit of fact, underlying facts and support for that. And that's just something I'm very uncomfortable doing on a go forward basis. And that was the, I made the request at the last board meeting, put forth some suggested approaches and received no response from the administration on it. So hence, Director Goodwin was uncomfortable on the other side where he voted hybrid. I was uncomfortable for staying in person, and we both, while we disagreed on the choice of method of instruction, we do agree that we need the data to make a better informed decision. And so that's really what this is all about. Show us the data.
Now, when it comes to discussions, now, as a parent, not just a journalist, but as a parent especially, I know they're doing the boundary issue right now. And to me, as a parent, for me, the pandemic is facing us straight on right now. Why are we doing boundary discussions during a pandemic? Maybe I'm off base there asking that question, and maybe it was something already in play for a long time and it's part of a contract with a consultant. But what are your thoughts about that? I think it's kind of, we get phone calls about it, and every time the phone rings from the district, I think, oh, it's going to be a phone call having the class go to virtual, but instead it's boundary issues.
Well, I think you're not the only person that asked that question. I've been asked numerous times, why are you doing this when we have a pandemic going on? And, why are you not having substitutes available and all kinds of different topics? I mean, I think the underlying fundamental reason has been building for a while, and that is the north side schools are being they're growing far out of outpacing the west and the east. For example, North Middle School has nearly 1,400 students in it for three grades, while West has 900 students. So you have a big size differential. And obviously that'll grow under the high school, where you have schools that are different sized, and not addressing that over time isn't going to fix itself. And every year you ignore it, the problem still exists. So that was scheduled to be discussed, a while ago. I wanted to talk about it last February and March, then the pandemic started and we've been doing this, but it clearly hasn't been an optimal time to talk about boundary changes. There's no doubt about it. There's never a good time to talk about boundary changes. You can't really get people in a room, a public in a room. You're doing it virtually. It's a monologue by the demographer and the administration. the public doesn't get to ask live questions. People can't come to meetings. You do it virtually, and the technology doesn't work sometimes. So the process is, the purpose is noble, and the right purpose. Timing of the process is terrible with this going on, but it's not something that we probably should let ignore for the next 2 years. That's just not something we should do. So I'm supportive of continue it. I just fear there's lack of participation, a significant lack of participation by the public, and the public not really knowing what the outcome might be, because we've had very, very de minimis public participation in this process. And that's what I fear is folks are going to wake up someday and say, hey, my boundaries changes. When did this happen? Well, it happened during this time frame, guys. So no, I've been trying to be, you know, get out and talk about the boundary changes and put information out on the web and Facebook and show here are the numbers. And I've done a lot of work on that. So it's just something that unfortunately timing came together on these, and you know, wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't.
And I also noticed they did have that instructional video online, and like you're right, there were very few people who actually viewed it. I feel like the information that's being sent out is very hard to understand. Maybe I need to invest more time into it too.
No, you're not the only one. I didn't understand it, and I'm part of the process. I'm on the committee, and so that's why I put together a series of summaries of, okay, here's the summary results of those. And I'm not a Facebook, I don't have a Facebook account. So my wife's put them out on her Facebook account, where I summarize stuff to help bring, here are the different options. Here's our current boundaries. Here's, you know, option 1, 2, and 3. Here's the differences. Here's the demographic changes as a result of each one. Here's the size changes, because there was never a document that you could pull together and say, okay, what are the real summary of net all of this? I mean, here's a perfect example. Let me give you a perfect example. On any of the options, the maximum change of I'll call it ethnic makeup is 2.5%. That's the maximum change on a particular school is only 2.5%. So the demographics aren't going to change at all, virtually none, as a result of anything. This is really about numbers of kids going to a school, the free and reduced lunch, the ethnic makeup. They're not changing hardly any bit on any of the options. It's not, well, we want to be more diverse, we don't want to be this. Guys, it's only moving at the greatest extent, only 2.5%. A perfect example. I mean, the East student body makeup is about 65% white. In the most radical change, it would be 62.5% white. So you're only talking about a 2.5% change, and the same for North and for West. It doesn't really move. It doesn't move the demographics. It's not a quote seismic shift in anything. Except for the number of students attending a particular school. So I think if people are thinking there's going to be a wholesale change, there isn't with any of them. But we'll see. I mean, the demographer made sort of a cryptic discussion almost to himself at the end of the meeting last week, where he said, well, I'll take what you've told me, and I'm sensing these are the scenarios, and I may want to go back and adjust some of this and come back with a different option. And I'm like, what does that mean? So that's clearly something I'll be asking at the board meeting on Monday night. Are we expecting another version or a revised version of these scenarios we presented to the public? Because it's my view, if we do, the public needs to see that. We can't adopt that in a vacuum without the public seeing it and clearly understanding it. So, that's my commitment to the public is, hey, we're not going to do anything behind closed doors. It needs to be out in the open and public, and it's clearly something I'll insist on. But that's the summary of where we are with the process. But your initial point is exactly right. There are not very good summaries. The summaries just aren't very good. And that's why I put them together myself, and I presented them and handed them out at the last boundary committee meeting and sent it to all board members because I didn't believe the summary was very good. It didn't, you couldn't look at anything and really summarize, okay, what is the difference between these? There's a lot of paper, but no real summary. And that was my frustration as well. So that's why I put it together. And it's available out on my wife's Facebook account. I said I'm not a Facebook person, but she thought it needed to be out there, and so she posted it.
I'll have to check it out. I know you're really into the details, so I am looking forward to checking that out. Now, while I still have you on the phone, is there anything else that you think, something I didn't ask you that you think is important, anything else you think that we need to know about?
I think the school district has an obligation to have much better reporting and a much more transparent and open disclosure of the COVID-related absences and provide a history so that we can see a trend, if it's moving up, if it's moving down, and look at the staff level as well, because I'm of the belief that it's likely, if we do things differently, it's likely because we don't have enough staff to man the buildings, so to speak. So that would be a concern. The student positive rate still remains very, very low, but it's more in line with the staff absentee rate that seems to be more problematic, and whether we can get enough substitute teachers in place to properly staff the classes. That to me is the key issue. So I think we'll continue to monitor it, but at a very minimum, we need better information.
Well, and what's interesting about that is, you know, reporting with a very small staff, it's hard for us. We try as the best we can to keep up with numbers and that kind of thing. Well, when the school district started putting out numbers, we would take turns on Fridays, my coworker Mary and I, about putting out newscasts. And I made a mistake of not keeping some of the earlier emails, and I blew them out of my computer. Well, I emailed the district and I said, hey, do you have a running total of how many people have been sick since the beginning of the pandemic, both, you know, the teachers, staff, and then the students? And I was told, no, we give you an update each week and that's it. I kind of felt inadequate as a reporter at the time, thinking, gosh, I should have been more careful of keeping those numbers. I just know, like, when you look at the local colleges, they do that. Morningside keeps an updated list. USD in South Dakota, too. So for me, I don't know why they wouldn't just release that. I know people would understand that each week is individual and each week is new, but I wanted kind of that history as well.
Well, yeah, I guess you and I were thinking similarly because I wanted the same thing. So I went back and rebuilt. I kept all the emails and I went back and rebuilt it on a weekly basis. And I was sending updates to the board in graph form of, okay, here's the numbers each week, and looking at the graph both on students and staff. So we were doing exactly the same thing as putting that together. I was somewhat frustrated that, wait a minute, shouldn't we as a district be keeping this information? Why do we have to individually keep it? And I was presenting it to the board because I thought it was important information to get a historical basis and reference for, is it moving up? Is it moving down? Where has it been over time? And I think we're at a point now where, look, let's keep the cumulative absences. We have all that information. It's available at the district. The contact tracing is supposed to be done. That's all information that should be available. Folks that are quarantined is all available. People that are out, they're not positive, they're not quarantined, but they're out because they're awaiting testing. That's all available. So why not present it to the public? And as I said in the letter, there's no sound logical reason not to present it. The public is demanding to know, and as a board member, being asked to make decisions on, you know, changing instructional methodologies, be it virtual, be it hybrid, be it in person, I think at a minimum, board members should expect and demand that type of information, and quite frankly, that's what we're doing here.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. We'll watch you Monday at the board meeting. Let me know if you hear back from the district, too.
I will do.